Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
The issue of anti-Semitism in this country is, and I called it yesterday Jew hatred, because that's what it is so utterly disturbing and utterly unacceptable that we can't sit by and say nothing and do nothing. We cannot do that. So we will follow up, and we will talk to people who are specifically and directly involved. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by David Sachs. He's from the Jewish Federation of Ottawa, and when Mr. Sachs was leaving a Muslim-Jewish interfaith event on Parliament Hill, he was identified as Jewish by pro-Palestinian and pro-Hamas demonstrators, and he was swarmed, requiring a police escort to leave the area. We'll talk to Mr. Sachs in a few minutes' time. But first joining us is the deputy leader of the Conservative Party and member of Parliament in the Toronto area. She's Jewish. Melissa Lantzman is with us. Melissa, thank you for coming on the program. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me again.
So when I say Jew hatred in this country, how do you respond?
Oh, it's exactly what it is. And we've seen an uptick since days after October 7th. And it is getting worse and worse. And I think there is an abdication of leadership on every politician at every level of government who is in power to put a stop to this. It is out of control.
Yeah. And at our post-secondary education institutions, also known as universities and colleges, there is it's a huge problem, a huge issue there. In the United States, they have the police now moving in and making arrests. That hasn't really happened in this country. But would you address that issue of anti-Semitism or Jew hatred at our universities?
Yeah, look, what an absolute embarrassment it is for our institutions that are world-renowned with leadership in those universities who have ostensibly done nothing, sat by and watched until, of course, the tent encampments that have started here, at least in the province of Quebec, which will follow suit. When you give somebody an inch, they will take a mile. We've seen people on the steps of, you know, Vancouver's art gallery and right in front of Parliament Hill, calling October 7th a win, glamorizing and glorifying terrorism. And we've effectively had leadership, particularly at the federal level, that has chosen the wrong side of history and that has made this commonplace in Canada.
So Hamas is declared a terrorist organization by the federal government of Canada. And to support Hamas openly, as has been done and quite vociferously in this country, if I'm not mistaken, that's a criminal offense.
It certainly is. We don't have a law problem here. We have an enforcement problem. We have a leadership problem. We have those who should be on our watch list, certainly banned as terrorist organizations, people of charitable status in this country, like a group called Sammy Doon, connected to the PLFP, a terrorist organization. We have the IRGC, the Iranian-backed regime as army that openly recruits and raises money and organizes here. We have a known 700 agents here that are terrorizing communities. This is not simply about Hamas. It is a war on the West. It is a war on civilization. And I cannot believe that the government of Canada has taken the wrong side in this war.
You're Jewish Canadian. What's going on? What are people telling you? What are your family members? What are your friends telling you within the Jewish community about how they feel today?
You know, I represent the largest community, but there are communities all over Toronto and Vancouver and Montreal and everywhere in between, and they're all saying the same thing. First of all, they cannot believe that it's gotten to this point. Some of them are afraid to go to school, to go to synagogues, to go to community centers, because those too have been targets of shootings and firebombings and outright intimidation on the front steps. Look, I have to say, this is a problem that starts with the Jews in a country, never ends with the Jews in the country. And it is a symptom of something much, much larger. And I think if the government doesn't act, we're in really, really big trouble here of all of the values of freedom, of democracy, of the rule of law that we support in this country are at risk.
So we have three levels of government in Canada: municipal, provincial, and federal. And each has different levels of responsibility in managing the affairs of either a city, a province, or the nation. If the Conservative Party wins the next federal election, and it looks as though you're going to walk away with it, if that comes true, and you're the Deputy Prime Minister, I'm assuming that would be the case, what would you be able to do? What would you expect your party to do about this Jew hatred if you form a majority government?
Look, I think there are a number of things that we can do, but it starts from where you started this conversation. One, it starts with Canada's relationship with Israel. It has never been this bad. It will not be this bad after Justin Trudeau leaves. This is an anomaly in a deep 75-year history. I think leadership and tone comes from the top. And if Canadians were assured that their leaders protected, were in this to protect Canadian values, then we would see much different behavior from the police, who don't feel like they have the backing of politicians at any level of government. We have municipal politicians that have marched in parades against the police in this country, and not just in one city. We have a provincial government, at least in the province of Ontario, that is basically in the witness protection program. They have said nothing. They have done nothing. In fact, they've exacerbated the situation. And we have a prime minister that has absolutely turned his back on a long-standing democratic ally. All of those things can change with leadership from the top.
You had an encounter with Prime Minister Trudeau in February of 22, when the issue came up about being Jewish in this country and what had gone on nationally. And you challenged Mr. Trudeau, and if I have this correctly, if I remember correctly, he looked at you and said, "Your party, Conservative Party," and he looked at you, Jewish member of parliament, Jewish Canadian, he looked at you and said the Conservative Party, quote, "is standing with people who wave swastikas," end quote. And he didn't apologize that day. He left Parliament, or left question period, without apologizing. Has he ever done that? Has he ever apologized for that?
No, I'm still waiting by my phone for an apology. But I will say this about the Prime Minister. I will never take lessons from a Prime Minister who has a minister who literally caresses the hand of a terrorist, Mahmoud Abbas, both the foreign minister and the minister for mental health. Her name is Yara Sachs, who represents a lot of Jews in her riding. I will never take lessons from a prime minister whose deputy prime minister couldn't just last week denounce "Long Live October 7th as a problematic statement, let alone a hateful one. And I will never take lessons from a prime minister that lets the wannabe jihadists run with their face covered in front of Parliament Hill, that intimidate both Jews and Canadians writ large in our place of democracy. That is not a prime minister I will ever support, and it is not a prime minister that I will ever expect an apology from.
Let's get back to the issue of what we're calling Jew hatred in this country. David Sachs joins us from the Jewish Federation of Ottawa. David, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Roy.
You were at an interfaith, Muslim-Jewish interfaith event on Parliament Hill. Tell us what happened as you left, please.
Of course. It wasn't exactly a Muslim-Jewish interfaith. It was a Muslim friendship dinner, and it invited a lot of groups, including the Jewish community, including many of our police forces, including representatives of the universities, other religious groups, and politicians. So it's a very beautiful event, which I've been honored to attend for the last several years, marking Ramadan. And because of the presence of the prime minister and the mayor and other politicians, I'm imagining this is the reason, there was a number of protesters in front of the event, masked in keffiyehs, and screaming and harassing the politicians and the guests who were coming to the event. And they've actually posted this on their Instagram account. They're proud of this this harassment that they give to people. But what they didn't post is what they did to me, which is that when I came out of the event, and I believe that I was the only visibly Jewish man to leave the event by the main door, and I've spoken with the organizers, and they say no one else, you know, had this kind of experience. But I was immediately swarmed by 6, 7, 8 keffiyeh masked protesters who came right up, surrounding me, pressing against me, shoving me, screaming in my face, screaming with absolute rage, swearing, saying, you know, the worst kind of accusations, insults, threats that you can imagine. One of them had a marching drum with a Palestinian flag on it that he brought up into my face and was banging in my face. Another woman had a kind of a noise weapon that I've never seen before that she had right in my face, blasting some kind of a sound that was quite painful, to the point where a police officer had to leave the event and come to separate myself, but he could only stand by one side. So I was surrounded on three sides by these people who walked with me. And the police officer kept asking me to please just keep walking. And he walked with me for 4 long blocks while they were pressed in against me, screaming in my face, blasting the noisemaker in my face. So it was not an experience I would like to see anyone in my community have. You know, I think for myself, it's easy to let it go, but I try and think in my role working for the community, if I heard about that happening to anybody else in my community, I would be incensed. And I think that it's time that Canadians realize this is the behavior and this is the hatred that is emanating from the anti-Israel movement. And this is also the context that Jewish Canadians are now living in. That just to leave the house and be visibly Jewish is to take a risk that something like this could happen to you, and it could happen in a place where there are no police to intervene.
So nobody listening to this could possibly not have empathy for what you experienced and have great concern. But you also deal with the issue of anti-Semitism, and you do so publicly. You advise people on how to address anti-Semitism. So here you are, exposed to and the worst kind of anti-Semitism, and it's focused directly at you. What do you do, David? What's the approach we should be taking in this country to address the anti-Semitism that we're so clearly aware of now, and you have just explain to us on a very personal level.
That's a great and big question. And I think it starts with understanding anti-Semitism, because we have a great hurdle to overcome, which is that the vast majority of Canadians aren't aware of anti-Semitism, don't necessarily care about anti-Semitism because they don't really understand the human cost that is entailed. And I'm going to say something which might be a little bit shocking to listeners, but which I can back up, which is that anti-Semitism is a fundamental piece of the fabric of Western civilization. It is baked into our culture for 1700 years at least. And for 1700 years, we have had expulsions, genocides, and humiliations perpetrated against Jews in every single region of Europe, in every single century for the last 1700 years. So, I mean, that is embedded. It is part of our society and very long-lived. People need to understand that today that manifests in hatred towards Jews that people are unaware of. Jews are the number one target per capita of hate crimes in Canada, the United States, France, and Great Britain every single year. And the only thing that's changed with the current wave is that we're now the number one target of hate in pure absolute numbers. So 1.5% of the Ottawa population is Jewish, but 27% of hate crimes are directed against the Ottawa Jewish population. So people need to understand the extent that anti-Semitism is a part of our culture, the extent that we ignore it, because the most common prejudice that's built into our unconscious is that Jews are privileged and Jews are part of the power structure. So we don't think, even if we don't think of ourselves as being anti-Jewish or of harboring any resentment towards Jewish, we all have that kind of built into our subconscious. Jews don't need protecting. Jews don't need us to worry about them. And so you see that Jews have been completely left out and failed by all the equity and EDI industry because we're not considered a group that needs support, even though we're the number one target of hate crimes. So the most important thing is an attitude shift. That people need to come to grips with the idea that Jews are and have been, for all recorded history, a targeted minority, and that there was a blip of acceptance for the last 50 or 60 years, and that blip has diminished, and we've gone back to what are more historic norms.
Yeah. We only have a few seconds, but I want to say this to you, and I had this thought after you and I spoke on the phone the other day. And I've had it as I've prepared for different programs, and the word anti-Semitism comes up again and again and again. And I don't know how easily that word rolls off people's tongues. I don't know how easily or understandable that is. Whereas when I say Jew hatred, that resonates because there's no mistaking what those two words, hyphenated, mean and what they really not just suggest, what they define. David, thank you very much for joining us. I hope you'll come back.
And I agree with you, Roy. I think that's a great point.
Yeah, we'll have you back. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Thanks
so much.
Thank
you so much.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.